My name's Toby Ollier, and I'm a puppeteer in Warhorse. So there's three of us in the horses. We call them the head, heart, and the hind. I'm the head. I play the head of both horses. I'm part of a team that rotates, because we have different teams that play the horses just because of sheer exhaustion and repetitive strain injuries, we have to. So I play the heads, yeah. So I'm on the outside of the horse with a control rod from the sort of crown of its head, which has triggers on it to operate the ears, and then my other hand is holding the horse's head directly. There's usually 2 weeks puppet training before rehearsals with the actors, where it's just the puppeteers and the horses. That's the 12 people that rotate between playing Joey and Topthorn, who are the main big horses, and then the three people that play Baby Joey, who are constantly always play Baby Joey. We're all in a room for 2 weeks, trying out walking, trotting, galloping, and it's sort of about working as a trio, really, and beginning to respond and listen to each other physically. A lot of work takes place outside of the puppets initially, sort of doing exercises where you're led by breath. Breath is the main way that Handspring Puppet Company sort of connect their puppeteers, as a means of knowing when your fellow puppeteers are going to make a move, or knowing when to stop and start. So you do a lot of listening physically and kind of with your ears, and then you get into puppets, or get back into horse, as the catchphrase is. Everybody, let's get back into horse, please. And you do sort of walking, trotting, galloping, looking at the hoof patterns, the more kind of scientific logistics of it. And then once you've kind of got those down, it's about giving the puppet weight, giving it momentum, giving it the kind of anatomical sort of qualities of a real horse. And then once you've got that, it's about giving it emotion, finding the character, really. And for the audience, the breath of the puppet itself is the complete emotional indicator to the horse, really. Ears and tail allow the audience to see what the horse is thinking, but at the same time, the breath, and whether it's holding its breath or if it's exhausted, is a complete window into how the horse moves. So I always refer to it as like the metronome. It is. It's very similar to musicians. It's the sort of constant rhythm that you can kind of sink back into. So if you get a bit out of sync with each other, you can get back on track by listening to the breath. A lot of the job of the head is to sort of create the illusion that the horse is having the thought to do something, whereas you're actually anticipating what the guy in the chest is going to do. It's a case of working together, because likewise, if the guy in the chest isn't listening to the head, then he could walk in one opposite direction and the head could go in the other. So it's sort of a strange equilibrium where you're all in this weird hypersensitive state of readiness, really. It's, we sort of describe it like you're anticipating the start of a race. You're all kind of ready to go, poised, and waiting for kind of someone to initiate a move. And the most exciting moves are when you don't know who initiated it. We watched quite a lot of real horse footage, a lot of YouTubing horse kicks, horses rearing, lots of things like that. And then we visited a working horse farm in Tunbridge Wells and saw horses ploughing. That was a very long time ago. I was in the workshops. And then we have a good working relationship with the King's Troop in St John's Wood in North London, where we our puppeteers and some of the actors go and sleep the night in their barracks, get up at 4 a.m. and muck out their horses for them. So you get real close contact with horses, and then you watch them doing their displays, so their pulling of guns with riders, kind of formation stuff, and getting them watching their practices. So you get a real good insight into human horse relationships, as well as the kind of physicality of the horse. In terms of the cavalry charges and the scenes at war, we've had a lot of contact with the King's Troop, who've sort of said that, you know, horses are animals and they will flee if they want to, but if they're being kept in line and there's a load of other horses around them, then their herd instinct kicks in, and they'll, you know, if they're told to go forward into these machine guns, if they've got horses either side of them doing the same, then they'll do it in a sort of horrible, you know, they don't sort of have a choice sort of way. Their instinct is telling them to go, so they do. In, I guess, in the same way that the soldiers didn't really have a choice but to go forward over the top. I mean, a big part of it, I think, as the puppeteers, either part of the horse, either of the three puppeteers, is to not listen to the human language, really. You ignore the words and you try and focus on pitch and tone of the humans around you. It's interesting, you kind of try and strip away the kind of human instinct, because you don't want the horses to become too anthropomorphic, good word, and react as humans. You try and make them as animalistic as possible. I think there's a strange thing with the puppets, that if you're doing your job well enough and you're willing it with life, that you disappear.